And welcome to the program. Thanks for joining us on this Tuesday afternoon. It is 106 right now. I'm meteorologist Justin Storm with Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki and Ag Director Bridget Riedel. And guys, how are you doing today?
Doing good. How about yourself?
Hey, I'm doing fairly well as well. We're all doing very good today. And
it's a beautiful day out there.
We're out here at Big Iron.
If you can get through the smoke.
Yeah, there is quite a bit of smoke up there. If you were flying high at about 10,000 feet, you'd probably be not seeing a whole lot up there.
Might not be VFR conditions. More like IFR out there this
probably.
Afternoon.
Well, what is the forecast looking like out there, Dean? When are we going to see some improvement visibility and maybe some better lower levels?
Well, I'll tell you what. We're going to look at a lot of this haze and smoke for the next few days. I think it'll thin out a little bit more this afternoon. And this is going to keep the temperatures down a little further than what we were forecasting. We were looking at mid-upper 80s, but I'll tell you what. It looks like mid-80s at most as we head into the afternoon. A little bit of a breeze blowing out of there, out of the southeast at about 10 to 20. And it's not humid out there, so it's a tolerable heat for this time of the year.
Well, I beg to differ.
You think it's humid.
It's a little warm.
This is nothing. Tonight we'll drop down to near 60, still some high clouds, and some upper-level smoke continues tomorrow. Winds will turn to the northeast, so we'll knock a few degrees off the temperatures, low to mid-80s tomorrow, and then the wind machine ramps up out of the southeast as we head into Thursday and Friday, and that'll warm us back up into the upper 80s to near 90. Slight chance of a few showers, possible a thunder shower on Saturday, but we do see a change in the weather pattern, and the LRC, as we said, forecasted this months ago, where towards the end of the month, 19th onward, we're going to get into a much wetter pattern.
So you're saying the weather is going to be taking a nosedive?
Because we don't want the rain when we're, you know, during harvest.
That wouldn't be very good. Yeah. Now, would it?
So, no, it really wouldn't be.
Huh.
Now,
all right.
You mentioned the wind's going to kick up, so that is a perfect opportunity for me to remind folks that we are in the Morton Building today. And if you were to stop by, we have some hats for you from WDAY that we would be thrilled to share with you. They'll keep your hair nice and tidy on these windy days. I know that's why Dean wants one.
Mm-hmm. I don't think Justin and I have enough hair to worry about getting messed up.
My hair is still doing all right so far, for
who
the
you
most part.
Who are you fooling?
Yeah, man.
Yeah, come on.
A lot better than you.
Well, yeah, but you're a lot younger, too.
Well, yeah, by many years.
By many, many years.
Yeah, many years.
There's a lot happening just with us. Again, we're in the Morton Building. We also have our WDAY Steiger Cougar tractor with us, so if you want to stop by. Albert from Lamar's Toy Company is here, and Albert is happy to talk to you about buying one of our Steigers. So we've got those on display. There's some real Steigers right out our back door, so I'm going to go check those out. And then we've got the Grain Gauge with us today, and the Grain Gauge is part of our giveaway for Here We Grow. You need to stop by our booth here in the Morton Building. Drop off your guesses for what you think our corn yield will be on our 20 acres of corn that we're custom farming. And again, our profits are then going to be going to Farm Rescue. The Grain Gauge is sponsored by IntelliFarms. We got a guy with us.
From IntelliFarms.
Chris, how are you today?
Good. How are you guys?
Good.
Fabulous.
Doing great.
All right. Tell us a little bit about IntelliFarms, where you are, what you do, all of the things.
Well, IntelliFarms, we've got a few locations across the Midwest, a couple in North Dakota, a couple in South Dakota. And we do grain bins, grain handling equipment, and we also do temperature and moisture monitoring systems.
So with all of that, you brought us a grain gauge.
I did, yes.
So what are we going to do with that? I mean, it's not like you fill it with corn to see how deep it is, right? Like a rain gauge? It's a little different.
No, it's a grain gauge. So it mounts, it's a unit that mounts on the side of your grain bin. And when the grain reaches that set height of the indicator, it switches from black to green to let you know, the level of grain in your bin.
When you're doing that, does it matter the size of your bushels or what crop is going inside? It pretty much is just anything that you're putting in that bin, correct?
Yep. Anything you put in that bin, it will give you the level of it.
Okay. When also, what if we're out at a bin site at night? What would we see differently? If we're outside in the dark or at dusk when you're filling, you know, bins off the field, anything like that?
Yep. So when the indicator is not triggered, it is black. And when it does trigger, it triggers to a green, neon green, and it actually glows in the dark. So there's easy viewing at night, and it's visible upwards to 300 feet away as well.
How do we install these things?
Basically, you drill an inch and a quarter inch hole in the side of the bin and pop a couple tech screws in the side, and that is about it.
So this is
very, very simple install.
Not complicated. We could probably do this, Dean. We could probably install a couple.
And not mess it up.
Do you think do you need us to be installers, Chris? If the winner of the grain gauge needs someone to come out and install it on their bin, should we have Dean and I do it?
You guys definitely could do it.
Now, Chris, is this a new product, or has this been out for a while?
No, this has been out for a while. It's been out since about 2014. So,
okay.
Yep. We did do an upgrade and changed a little bit of the components up in 2020. So, yeah. But other than that, nothing much has changed.
So, you know, often we talk about farm tech and how the coolest, latest, greatest things are coming along. It's not that the grain gauge isn't technical, but it's pretty simplified versus using software and so forth.
It is. It's very, very simple. Simple install. It's all mechanical, so there's no electrical components. That's about it.
Nice and easy to use.
It is.
So with IntelliFarms, what are the other things that you guys are highlighting here at Big Iron? What's going on at your booth, and where is your booth?
So our booth is, it's booth number 713, 714, and 715.
Oh, look at that. They're a big deal. They got a lot of them.
It's right on the southeast corner of the Butler Machinery building. And typically we highlight, our main focus is our moisture and temperature monitoring systems. Options of fully automation system, going to turn your fans on and off based on what the weather's doing outside. You're also able to, if you want to put some points back in your soybeans, let's say, you're able to rehydrate that grain as well. We also are a GSI grain bin dealer, grain handling equipment. So, bins come secondary to us, but we do multiple bins a year. So between our monitoring and grain bins, that's kind of what we're all about.
So we're going to switch out a little bit and give you a set of headphones there so you can hear us a little bit, too. When you said that about grain bins, like for GSI, that you're putting bins up, is there a backlog? For a long time, it was really hard for everybody to get bins, to get steel. Are you guys caught up and doing pretty well?
Yeah, we are caught up. Bins have been a little bit down this year. I think just price of commodity and the price of the steel.
Yeah.
Bins are about only 4 to 5 weeks out as of right now.
Oh, wow.
Lead time. So, this time of year, that's pretty short.
It really is. And when you say you're doing bins, are you guys doing the total bin site where you can help someone design not only bins but dryers, et cetera, or are you part of that process?
Correct, yes.
Okay, so we can do a little bit of everything.
Yep. We do cookie cutter, onesie-twosie bins all the way up to dryer setups with loops and grain legs, bucket elevators. Yeah, we do all that stuff.
It's pretty much anything you want to do.
Yes.
I like that. I hate to say it, but I think one of our guys is swiping somebody else's golf cart, so... Wonder if I should stop that.
No, it's ours.
Oh, it's ours. Okay.
It is ours.
I saw somebody driving away on a golf cart.
Yeah, just let it happen.
What are you, the golf cart police?
Well, I saw some farmer friends walk in, and I thought, did they just get off that cart and somebody else just swiped it? Because this got intense.
Yeah, sometimes you just got to watch them crash and burn.
Just wave when it flies away. Mm-hmm. I totally get that.
Indeed.
So Chris, you guys have a location out in Castleton, but that's not your only site.
Nope. So other than Castleton in North Dakota, we have a location in Harvey.
Okay.
And down in South Dakota, our headquarters is Britton, South Dakota, and have another location in Clark, South Dakota. And we do have a couple remote outside salespeople in Iowa and Kansas and even Kentucky.
Holy cow. That's quite a trade area.
Yeah.
Good region.
So how often do you find that you have to go out and service something in all those in those very far-off places where you have salesmen? Does that happen at all?
I mean, it does happen. It doesn't happen so much, but it does happen, and, that's part of when we sell you a system, that's part of our gig. We're a full-service company, so give us a call. We'll be on-site.
Maybe this is putting you on the spot a little bit, but some companies are here, and they have, like, a trade show special. Is there a trade show special for you?
There are.
Oh,
yeah, so with the grain gauge in particular, we normally retail them for $125. We got them going for you buy two of them at $200, and you get that third one for free. With right now at the show special, we got cash discounts on both of our bin systems and our monitoring systems.
I love a good sale. Should I have a coupon for that?
Yeah, you can make one.
But yeah, this time of year is we typically run our cash discounts just because harvest is right now as we speak. So if you want it in, that's how we incentivize you. Typically, our winter discounts will start after harvest, beginning of December into January.
So most importantly, stop by to see not only us here in the Morton Building, but see Chris and the IntelliFarms folks over by the Butler Building, because we want you to put in your guesses for what our yield's going to be on our corn. Have you put a yield guess in yet, Chris?
I have not yet.
Do you want to drive by the field so you know what you could give an educated guess?
Nah, have them fly over it. You get a better aerial view.
Yeah, we could take our drone over it. We use drones to map out sites and whatnot.
So. This is kind of perfect then. You can take a little look at it and see what you think of it.
But no, by the end of Big Iron, I will have my guess in that box.
Well, if you're a non-farming customer, we have rain gauges. But for the farming customer, we have a grain gauge. So two chances to win, depending on who you are.
There you go.
Yes, indeed.
Very nice. Chris, thank you for joining us today.
Thanks,
and taking
Chris.
The time. We really appreciate it.
Yes, I appreciate you having me.
Thank you.
All right. Well, we'll take a quick moment here, get caught up with the American Ag Network. When we come back, it's booze sampling time with Art from North Dakota Sweet Crude.
Happy hour.
If you want to call into the program, ask any questions today, 701-293-9000. That's the Red Wing Shoe line, or email inboxes. That's weather or ag at flagfamily.com. First, your ag update, and then some more weather and ag in focus. And welcome back to Weather and Ag in Focus. Thanks for rejoining us at 1:20 on this Tuesday afternoon. We're now being joined with Art from North Dakota Sweet Crude. And, well, Art, how are you been? I haven't seen you in a few weeks. What's been going on?
Well, I've been sweating out in the heat, that's for certain. I don't know if you guys saw it last night, but I was just a cameo appearance right at the end of the 10 o'clock news there in the hops harvest out at my hops yard.
Oh,
yeah,
nice.
Mainline hops, yeah.
When you're harvesting hops, are you having to harvest by hand, or how are you doing that?
So we used to.
Okay.
We used to harvest by hand. We don't have that big of a yard yet. Mm-hmm. But then, when you harvest by hand, goodness gracious, it takes you like 10 days. Mm-hmm. And we had a couple of really good harvesters, John mm-hmm. Peterson's parents that mm-hmm. lived out on the farm. They'd love to sit out there. Like, when are we getting started today? When can we pick up? So, but we ended up buying a harvester. There's a little machine that we bought, used from another hop yard that decided that was smarter than us and decided they would quit losing money.
Oh,
and we're still losing money, but that's okay. we use that little hops harvester, and it takes us about 2-3 hours to do what we did in 10 days with probably 10 volunteers.
Wow.
Yeah.
Good stuff. So tell me, what is North Dakota Sweet Crude? For someone who's never heard the name before, what is it?
It's a frackin' good liqueur.
Hey, right on. I like that.
Oh, I like where this conversation is going.
Right. So, North Dakota Sweet Crude, our family recipe of over 100 years. Great-grandpa Martin Widener was making it on his farm near Zapp, North Dakota. And it's an extremely smooth cinnamon and spice liqueur. So people would compare it to like a Goldschlager, a cinnamon schnapps.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of what it is. But it's just got so much more in it than just the cinnamon. There's an herbal tea blend that we use to make it, and so there's about 7 different ingredients in that herbal tea blend. And so after the initial powerful punch of cinnamon, mm-hmm. you get all of that lingering flavors on the backside.
Cool, right on.
I appreciate that your name is written on your fancy drinking cup over there.
Si, Arturo.
Yeah, he wrote Art on his paper cup just in case we swiped it from him.
And Art, how long has, you said the family recipe has been around for 100 years. How long has North Dakota Sweet Crude been in the stores? How long have you been marketing this now?
So the first bottle sold was July 21st, 2018.
Okay.
So I've been around for a little over 6 years, and about 2.5 years into it, then I introduced the orange variety. And there again, it's another herbal tea blend that we use to make it. And instead of having cinnamon in the distillation tower, we have orange peel in the distillation tower mm-hmm. to give it that big, powerful orange flavor.
Is this sold nationwide or just up in the Northern Plains here?
North Dakota, South Dakota, and Minnesota. In fact, I just repossessed my liquor from Colorado, unfortunately. Oh. Lost a distributor down there.
Oh, so what you're saying is you're looking for somebody new.
I am. Also in Wisconsin, yeah.
Well.
Yeah, very cool.
How can Wisconsin not want another
liquor?
I know. You got to spread. spread the love.
Right.
Sure do. Well, you got all sorts of different drink recipes here. From what memory serves me right, I think there's over 60 different drink recipes for North Dakota Sweet Crude and Sweet Crude Orange.
There are. I actually have a couple that I still need to put on the website here. A couple of new ones came in, and I have tested and approved them, and they're good to go.
Right on.
Now, are you hiring for taste testers, you know, as a side gig?
Free today. Drink.
You're getting free liquor right now.
Okay, so for folks that are going to catch up to you this weekend on the 13th, on Friday the 13th, you'll be at Lakes Liquor in Detroit Lakes, and on the Saturday the 14th, the St. Cloud Craft Beer Festival, they, too, will get to sample what we're having today.
Indeed.
What are we having today?
Today, I have the Dakota Sweet Lemonade, so North Dakota Sweet Crude and your favorite lemonade.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And then I also have the Orange Crush, which is a perennial favorite. Ooh. That's made with a lemon-lime soda, so, you know, 7-Up, Sprite, whatever. And the orange and a little splash of orange juice just to muddy the water.
So I put this up to my nose, and I got a little dribble of it on my right under my nose, so I'm going to smell this orangey stuff all day long.
You're supposed to drink it, not snort it, Bridget. What do they call those? They got a name for it. But
well, maybe, but apparently.
Freebasing?
It's apparent I just have a lack of coordination. All right, where to? Which one?
Which one we try first?
Let's go with the Orange Crush.
Is that the darker one or the lighter
one? The lighter one.
The lighter one?
The lighter one.
Okay.
Yeah, oh, good. A bee stop by. Yeah. Nice.
You smelt the orange.
Oh, smooth.
Yeah.
Oh, it's very smooth.
Oh, that's very smooth. Gosh, it's a good thing I had lunch.
And that's the Orange Crush, you said?
That is.
And what's it? So the sweet crude and just orange juice?
No,
orange,
lemon lime soda.
Okay. Uh-huh.
So like 7-Up or Sprite or Starry or whatever. And then just a splash of orange juice, just to just kind of muddy the water.
That's really
cheers. 5 o'clock somewhere.
Well, for those of you not here in the Morton building watching us drink these things, well, that's silly you. These are fabulous.
Yeah. This is super good.
Mm-hmm.
What do you say are some of people's favorite recipes for North Dakota Sweet Crude and Sweet Crude Orange?
Well, this Orange Crush recipe really sells a lot of the Sweet Crude Orange. Mm-hmm. I sample that out. Almost exclusively throughout the summer months. Mm-hmm. And, I sell people out of their orange pretty regularly when I show up with that drink.
I can only imagine why. It tastes delicious. All right. So what's the second one we got here?
We got a Dakota Sweet Lemonade.
Okay.
So North Dakota Sweet Crude and your favorite lemonade. It also works well with just any margarita, lemon-lime margarita mix.
Sure.
Pre-mix. But just with your lemonade, it's a nice little drink.
They're all a good little drink.
That's delicious.
Oh, wow.
You get the hint of the cinnamon, but it's not like in your face like Fireball cinnamon is.
Yeah,
like it doesn't, doesn't.
Well, you know, I tell people that we just don't use the F word around in North Dakota anymore.
That's a great point. We're far too polite for that.
Exactly.
I like it.
Now, see, where did that go? The dirty elephant. Now, that's...
What's a dirty elephant?
That sounds great.
It's a circus act.
So it's the sweet crude and cream liqueur.
Yeah, so it's Amarula cream liqueur. Oh. Amarula is a brand name of cream liqueur.
Where do I find... Do I find Amarula next to you on the shelf?
Sometimes we're in the same cordial section.
Amarula
is a liquor that comes from South Africa, originated down in South Africa.
Okay.
But you'll find it in most liquor stores in North Dakota, Minnesota, South Dakota. Huh. There's a marula fruit that's grown down in South Africa that the elephants absolutely love.
Huh.
That's why it's called a dirty elephant.
Mm.
I like that.
Cool.
Nice.
So if somebody wants to, find more of these recipes, look a little bit more into North Dakota Sweet Crude, Sweet Crude, and Orange. You guys have a website that has all the different recipes and shows where your samplings are going to be at, correct?
Yes. Yes. So crudespirits.com, and there's pages on there for locations. So that'll show you the nearest location on a map as to where you want to go purchase either of the products. And there's also a recipes page on there. There's also a distributors page, so if you're, a bar owner or whatever, and you want to know, hey, what distributor in my area carries it, the distributors are listed there. And then there's also our story, from going back to Great-Grandpa Martin when he started making it, and some of the anecdotal stories of our youth and you know, my wife talking about it and stuff. Of course, she's not a drinker, so.
Well, okay, Art, you mentioned, you know, this was an occurrence starting because of hunting season. Grandpa wanted to make some to share with folks that were coming hunting.
I did.
Oh, you did.
Yes.
You did. So you could recommend this as a gift if you're a hunter.
But indeed.
Is there a particular recipe that would stand out at the end of harvest to celebrate that you have finished your harvest for the year?
Well, I guess, you know, people like to have it with hot apple cider.
Sure. Ooh, nice and fall-like.
If it's cool outside. Yeah. Yep. Another one, you know, as we get closer to the snow flying, then, you know, put it in your hot chocolate.
Mm.
You know what this does remind me of? It's just passing the bottle around the fireplace. Or around the fire.
Fire pit.
The fire
exactly.
Pit. Exactly. Fireplace. Living room, Dean.
It is 75 proof.
It's cold
so
outside.
As I was saying yesterday, I mean, it's pretty much antiseptic.
You know, I'll be honest.
Totally.
I got book club tomorrow night, so.
Pass it around the books.
When we were harvesting hops yesterday, we started at 9 a.m., and I said, well, I've got the morning beverage for us. And, of course, everybody said, yeah, bring it on. I pulled out a bottle, and they said, well, are we drinking this, you know, pulling this right out of the
Of course,
well, absolutely.
We are.
I mean, what are you? Well, it's antiseptic.
It's 9 a.m.
It's good
of
for
course
you,
right? We are.
Look, you can get communion at church, or we could do this right here.
Sure,
aids the digestion.
Art, do you have any people that come up to you? What I was thinking, do you have a recipe contest online? Do you have a lot of people coming up to you saying, "Hey, you know what would go really good with this?"
I have a lot of people sending in emails from the website. That's how most of them are actually created.
Okay.
Because people will send in emails. Hey, my buddy and I, we tried this. This is what we like.
We mixed it with this.
Right. And then, of course, I have to taste and approve.
Of course.
Oh, of course.
And so, you know, I am a professional. I do know how to do that. And I make sure that everything that goes on the website is tasty.
Sweet.
And speaking of your website, can you order directly from it?
You can. There is a link to the online retailer, and acespirits.com is that retailer. It all depends on where you live, what state. Every state is different with the liquor laws. It's different than beer and wine. So even if you can, hey, I can order wine online all the time. Well, your state may not allow direct sales of spirits. Mm. So I let them deal with that because they change.
Right.
You know, they pass bills and people lobby and stuff. So I let Ace Spirits deal with that. I don't deal with that.
And if you're in Colorado, Art's looking for you to help distribute.
Exactly.
Indeed. Well, Art, appreciate you coming in here, giving us some samples. Like last time, it was great. We didn't have enough time today to really dive into the history of it, but on our last interview we had with you, that was a fun story of how it all originated back in the day. So we'll try and put that up so people, if they want, they can go back and listen to that whole history, or they can go to the website and read it there and maybe order a bottle while they're there.
Or we'll have Art come back with his bottles.
Oh, he'll be back again, for sure. We'll make sure Art's coming back.
Okay.
Art, one more time, what's the website for somebody if they want to find that story, see the recipes, or maybe order a bottle?
Crudespirits.com. So
Crude. Awesome. Appreciate it, Art. Well,
thanks, Art.
Take a quick moment here, get caught up with bottom of the hour news. When we come back, more guests, and so much more fun. This is Weather and Ag in Focus.
And welcome to Weather and Ag in Focus here at the Big Iron Farm Show in West Fargo, North Dakota. Hey, little reminder if you're driving out here, especially if you are an exhibitor, there is no longer parking on the west side of the event center.
Oh, I got in there.
On the west.
Yeah, your car's not going to be there.
It might not be there when
right,
we leave.
I think you're done because the gate's
done.
Locked.
It is. I snuck.
It's a problem.
I snuck by it.
Park on the east. Walk on in from the east side. That's probably your simplest way to get here. And stop by to see us in the Morton Buildings building because we have WDAY hats to give away. We really want you. Oh, yes. The keychains with the thermometers on them.
You're not getting my sweet
thank
crude,
you, Michael.
You
can don't
keep
even
yours.
Show up if you want that.
We are also going to do our best to get your grain guesses because we are, once again, taking the guesses for our Here We Grow project. How many bushels of corn per acre do you think we're going to raise this year? Come and let us know. Check out our Steiger tractor. It's a Steiger Cougar, the 280 horsepower Cougar, and there's actually an original Cougar parked out our back door.
Did you say Cougar?
Calm
down,
Dean.
Cougar.
Oh, okay.
Easy. I'll explain that later. Okay. So we are happy to have with us today Casey Erickson. Casey is with Morton Buildings. Thanks for having us today.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
All right. Tell us about Morton Buildings. I mean, you actually have like a real building. It's not
just a tent.
Yeah,
we're sitting in a Morton building right now.
Okay.
We have been around since 1903. We're the nation's premier post-frame builder. We do everything from, you know, giant farm shops, 120 wide, 150 wide, all the way down to 30 by 30 garages in people's backyards. Hmm. So we can handle pretty much any project that you'd be looking at.
When you say post-frame, what does that mean? What is post-frame?
So post-frame is, for lack of a better term, like a pole barn is the best way to think about it, versus a traditional stick frame or like a steel frame building.
Okay.
And when you're doing these buildings, you know, one of the biggest things, and I see your pictures and your descriptions on the wall, have now become like the shop house combinations. What percentage of your building has that building projects?
For us, it's still fairly a small segment.
Okay.
The big thing when it comes to shop homes is we want to make sure they're post frame friendly. You know, it's not as easy to do the crazy giant homes in a post frame. Just there's a little less flexibility when it comes to the construction style versus traditional stick frame.
Mm-hmm. And Casey, when we walked in there to do our live show, one of the things that caught my eyes. You guys have some old, like, antique replica signs over there.
They're actually not as old as you think they are.
Probably not, but they look like it. Are these giveaways or?
So what we do is every year, to past customers, we come out with a new sign.
Okay.
So every year we go out and see our old customers and bring them a new sign, and there's some pretty crazy collections out there. You know, we've been doing it at least for the last 10 years. Mm-hmm. You know, I've only been with Morton for about two now, but ever since I've been with the company, we've been doing that.
Cool. And what would you say is one of your favorite things about Morton in your 2.5 years of being with the company?
For somebody like me who didn't have a strong construction background coming into it, mm-hmm. we do everything. So we plan the building, we manufacture the building, we construct the building, and I'm there with the customer throughout the whole process.
Cool.
So I'm from the design phase all the way to the end. I'm there with the customer.
And how customizable are the buildings besides just your standard 100 by 150 foot building?
So we have set sizes. We like to stay within those set sizes just for ease of manufacturing. But we can do custom sized buildings as well if there's a specific need that the customer has to meet.
Sure. And how many, I don't know if this is something you know off the top of your head, how many different templates or styles of buildings do you do?
They're all a little custom. That's the problem. We have a couple templates like on the website that people can go and look at, especially when it comes to the shop homes. We have some pre-designed options on the website. When it comes to a farm shop or a garage or a hobby shop, it's all up to what the customer wants.
Sure. Well, that's super cool.
And what kind of new improvements do you have in the farm shops?
One of our biggest improvements is we have our concrete columns, the footing system we've used.
Oh.
We've had that now for about 8 years. The next improvement to that is there's the splashboard. It's the little treated board that's up at the top there.
Right.
We've actually made a concrete version of that. So now everything that's in the ground and touching the ground is concrete. So you're not worried about that wood rotting off down the road.
Right.
So you have a strong concrete foundation under your building.
Okay. Very cool.
Oh, man. There are going to be so many things for us to talk about. You're joining us every day this week.
Fantastic.
That's going to be awesome.
So do we give a cliffhanger? What are we going to talk about tomorrow?
I don't know. Whatever you guys want to talk about.
I look forward to it, though. So, yeah, every day, people should stop and see you.
Absolutely.
They should register for our yield contest.
Okay.
And then listen when you join us every day during our show so we can talk about Morton Buildings.
Fantastic. Sounds like a plan.
Oh, awesome. That's fantastic. Thank you, Casey.
Thanks for coming in. Appreciate it.
So we're going to swap in guests, and we've got a fellow joining us. I know Dan Geffrud. He is with Pivot Bio. And Dan is also, he's been a longtime agronomist in the region. We kind of want to talk a little bit about our corn crop, particularly because we're raising corn this year. So
wait, we're growing corn?
Oh, yeah. Oh, we are. You can fly right over it over here by Glendon
there
if you go zipping down the road.
Sure.
Yeah. Dan, how long have you been an agronomist in the region?
Oh, probably various roles for the past 10 years. Central Minnesota all the way to southeast North Dakota, so about 10 years.
There's no shortage of things going on right now.
No, right. Definitely not.
When you say agronomy, you know, we have a lot of folks that listen that aren't in agriculture. What is an agronomist?
I just kind of look as agronomy as, you know, somebody that's guiding somebody to grow a crop.
Sure.
You know, just kind of all facets of that. You know, soil fertility, weed control, hybrid selection, mm-hmm. biologicals, you know, all that stuff is, it all has a fit in agronomy.
So he's kind of like our guidance counselor for our crop.
Sure.
you can say that, yeah, for sure.
All right, so we're raising corn this year. We are here in September, mid-September-ish, you might say. Are we at the point now where corn doesn't need any more rain? Have we run out of the nitrogen accurately? What is most of the crop looking like out there?
You know, and it's probably a word that's used too much this season, but it is extremely variable. Dependent on planting date, we're in all sorts of different crop stages right now. You know, we planted corn from, you know, April 20th to, you know, June 20th, basically.
Right.
So we've got some full dent, and we've got some corn that I was in some 95-day last week that, you know, had basically just pollinated. So we got a long ways to go. We're going to need some, 85 degrees helps. So hopefully we can string some more of that together to get this stuff finished out.
Right. As a whole across the area, you know, obviously there's some folks that aren't, they're not going to get a crop out of what they put in, if they even put in at all. And then there's some folks that got in early, and it's going to be just fine. What are things averaging out? Are we looking at maybe near average if you kind of balance it out, or is it as a whole, does it look like everyone kind of took a dent with an exception for some people?
Yeah, actually, the corn crop, it looks good. You know, I don't want to put a, you know, put a bushel to it, you know, a number
sure.
to it, but the crop.
Oh, wait. Yes, you should, because that should go in our box right here.
210.
225.
I just couldn't do it. I couldn't do it. But I will say that it looks good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for all the rain we've had, you know, with the exceptions of, you know, some extreme washouts, you know, some extreme ponding saturation, the corn crop looks good. We just got to get it finished.
Okay, mm-hmm. Speaking of that, are you estimating where moisture's at, how long it's going to take for the corn crop to die down? I mean, I've actually started to suggest that maybe if you don't have propane booked, you should for your dryers.
I would agree.
Okay.
Yes. I mean, some agronomists, you know, we're going to need October 15th.
Yeah.
You know,
ooh.
Before we.
Are you guys listening?
Yeah, that's why I said,
You know, again,
depending.
Just it.
Depending on planting date again, you know, and you know, we got so far behind in our heat units early.
Okay.
So it's just, it's going to, we need some time.
All right. Sure.
You're going to give us as much as we can from you, the weather guys.
We're doing our best.
We'll do what we can.
Appreciate that tremendously.
Yeah, no problem. I'll get in contact with my homies up at HARP, see if they can do us another solid.
Please.
Good point.
Yeah. I got my clearance back.
Oh, thanks.
Yes, we can't abuse it. They said I don't get it back if we abuse it.
There's a lot of things that get abused in this group.
At least if we abuse it, we can't talk about it.
Dan, if folks are stopping to see you at Big Iron, where are they finding you, and what would you like to talk about with them when they come by?
Yeah, so we're in the Hartle building in the back. And just come talk to us about another usable form of nitrogen. That's what we are. We can spread that risk out, put another source of N on your farm. And, you know, on years like this where we had a lot of rain early, we'll be there. We're made on the root. We're taken up, you know, right away. So we're another usable form of nitrogen.
Right. And how does that work when you say you're another use of nitrogen besides adding on? How does the process with Pivot Bio work?
So we're a microbial, you know, biological nitrogen. We are a gene edited soil microbe that fixes nitrogen for corn and wheat, other grass crops, in the presence of nitrogen. So these naturally occurring wild types is what we call them. Mm-hmm. They're always there, but when we fertilize a corn crop, the work is done for those microbes. They don't need to do anything. So
okay.
So over our editing process, we have made a switch that says, okay, these microbes, they're going to make nitrogen all the time.
Okay, cool.
Dan, thank you, Dan, for joining us. We really appreciate you sliding on in and switching chairs on like the hot seat over there.
Yep.
That's worked out really well.
Perfect.
All right, folks, continue to enjoy Big Iron. Last segment coming up. And I just realized we have a surprise guest in the house, and I'm going to have her join us for our last segment.
All right.
Right on.
Sweet. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Weather and Ag and Focus here at Big Iron in West Fargo, North Dakota. We are so glad that you are joining us. Thank you to our Here We Grow sponsors of Steffes Group and Dakota Bank, because we have folks who are here guessing how much corn are we going to raise on our 20 acres. What do we think our yield is going to be on a per bushels per acre basis? Can't wait to hear more.
210.
210. You're in for 210?
Mm-hmm.
We'll see what it looks like. We have an actual farmer with us today. That's Teresa Gilley.
Hey.
She's from Lancaster, Minnesota.
Hallock.
Hallock.
East of Hallock.
East of Hallock. Teresa was just walking by, and I said, why don't you just join us? What's happening on the farm by Hallock right now?
Well, right now, we have finished up wheat harvest, which was excellent in Kitson County, better than we've ever had.
Wow.
We had good quality. We had good test weight. Got dinged a little on the protein.
Yep.
Anywhere from, on my farm, anywhere from 12 pro to north of 14.
Ooh.
But we were getting hit under, 12 cents a fifth, which is was kind of hurt. But I had a bin that got too full and had to deliver some, but visited a little bit with Betsy Jensen, and she told me to let it go.
Yep.
So I did. I just let it go, and I'm going to bask in the fact that I had a really good wheat crop. So
Betsy Jensen is kind of the authority voice in northwestern Minnesota when it comes to farm marketing, farm management. She does a great job with economics to help everybody out.
Kind of no nonsense.
Very no nonsense. She'll tell you where it goes.
Yes. And so right now, a lot of canola harvesting going on right now. Pre-haul for sugar beets is already done. They're really struggling with some of that canola. Some of it fell down and is a little bit of a challenge to pick up. And for us, on my partnership with my two neighbors, we're thinking that soybeans maybe next week.
Wow.
So it's drying down. And, we were just a little bit drier in the Northern Valley, and everybody else was getting rain, and we kind of got missed. I don't think 0.05 of an inch rain is much of a rain. but we got 3 inches, and the ground sucked it up during wheat harvest. And so I think it was enough to really give those soybeans and those fall crops that little bit of extra moisture that it really needed to finish off.
You never know. Sometimes in these tendency towards a drier season, we really managed to knock a yield out of the park on a soybean.
Yeah.
Maybe we're there.
And, I think that we probably lost some top pods.
Uh-huh.
They just got aborted. But maybe making it up with some four-bean pods and some things like that. So I'm kind of excited to get into it.
Now we've got at least a potential, according to our LRC model that we use, of a widespread rain event coming in here third week into the end of the month. How what kind of impact will that have on harvest? Because you said you're hopefully starting the beans next week, and the rain is supposed to come in either at the end of next week or the following. So how would that affect your bean your harvesting?
Soybeans are they're a tough crop, and of course, the pod will protect that bean. And so I guess, maybe it'll just calm us down a little bit and help and make us wait. Because, us as farmers, we don't do very well at that. Sometimes it's like, we got to get out there. But our ground in the Northern Valley, we can take some moisture. We can,
okay.
I mean, I think that our ground will handle it. And to be honest with you, that extra moisture is kind of a blessing. You're not going to grow much on nothing either. So fall tillage, because I got my fields chisel plowed, and boy, it's nice to have that moisture so you're not ripping your chisel plow apart too.
I think we forget about that hard ground like that is tough on equipment. It's no different than super muddy ground. Either way, we can wreck stuff.
Oh, there's nothing worse than shaking your chisel plow to all high heaven, and you're hoping that it stays together. But it was really nice to chisel plow and have that extra moisture in the ground.
It leads us a little bit to farm safety. As a farmer in that machinery, you're in the combine, you're in the truck going down the road. What advice do you have to motorists, particularly maybe newer and experienced drivers on the road during harvest season?
Give us some space. I always say the best thing you can do is help us get from point A to point B as quickly as possible. Please give us that space. Give us a little, we can't stop on a dime. Understand that equipment just really wants to get to the next field in a safe and timely manner. We don't want to be driving full bore on the roads. We try our best to stay on the gravel.
And pull over.
And please pull over. Pull over and pull off on a crossing if you see us on the gravel road, because there isn't. Most gravel roads are not huge roads. So give us that space so that we can get there safely.
You know, I think safety is going to be very, very important this fall. Folks are under stress. Mm-hmm. When we have rain events coming, we are in a hurry to get the harvest done. Unfortunately, there was an accident yesterday by Devils Lake, North Dakota, where we didn't have any wind. And the dust coming off of the field hung in the air. And a gentleman was coming along and did not see a semi pulling out of the field. And he ran into the grain trailer, loaded grain trailer. Everybody is alive and well, but that just illustrates the changing conditions we can have and what harvest can be like.
And you know, when we're up against that rain that's coming, we push our bodies harder than we should. I know I got to tell you, during wheat harvest, I was just as guilty of it. And we get exhausted. And sometimes our judgment and our exhaustion and our push to get done becomes more of a priority than that little break that we need.
Teresa, thank you for coming on. I mean, like I said, you just happened to walk in, and I suckered you into this. So thanks for that.
No problem.
Do you guys want a last chance at recapping the weather before we run her down to the end of the show?
Do we have time?
We're coming in on a final approach.
All right, we are. Well, let's make it a smooth landing then, if you will.
There we go.
We've
dip your wings so we get to see the weather.
We've got still a lot of smoke in the upper levels of the atmosphere. It's just a milky white out there today.
Yeah, it's thick.
Yeah, that's going to limit temperatures. We were hoping for mid-80s. We might be lucky to get to the mid-80s, probably be in the low 80s with the thicker smoke areas, but this should start to thin out towards evening. And then tonight we're looking at still some haze and smoke to the air with lows around 60. And then tomorrow, northeast wind on the light side. It'll drop temperatures into the low to mid-80s, and then we warm things up. And it turns windy Thursday and Friday with highs in the upper 80s to near 90. Only chance of rain coming in, maybe a few isolated showers Friday night into Saturday. That's about it. Keyword is isolated. And then we warm things right back up by early next week.
All right. Well, thanks for flying with Weather and Ag in Focus today. We're taking off again tomorrow from 1 to 2 o'clock in the afternoon. We hope to see you out here at Big Iron. We're in the Morton Building. Come by and say hi. Jay Thomas Show's coming up next.